In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, your weekly spin-off podcast where my ex-cop dad and myself, Paul Verhoeven, we sit down and chat about all kinds of random stuff to help take the sting out of the true crime which we deliver at the start of every week. Dad, I have a bit of a strange story for you. So, I think I already told you this, but just for the listeners, could you sum up... Could you sum up for listeners what Riverdance is?
Riverdance?
Yes.
Well, he used to be a guy, I mean, he's still presumably alive.
Yes.
Called Stephen Flatley.
Michael Flatley.
Yeah, whatever. Weird surname. Flatley. Fuck. If my surname was Flatley,
yeah,
I'd get it changed.
I mean, Verhoeven's no symphony of words
Paul,
either.
Paul. Verhoeven's a bloody cool name.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
So, Michael Flatley, yes.
Listeners, I have no idea what Paul, like, trust me, listeners. Paul just starts talking. So this is very, very spontaneous, my reaction.
Yeah, because, okay, it's been brought to my attention that not everybody knows what Riverdance is.
Okay,
so
cool.
So I was hoping you could explain it for us.
I can, because your sister, who, funnily enough, is my daughter, her name's Anne, she was an incredible Irish dancer. The difference between Irish dancing and Scottish dancing, Highland dancing, is that the main thing about Irish dancing is they don't move their arms. So technically, if you had no arms, and there are people out there with no arms.
Oh, God.
They'd make very good Irish dancers. But they couldn't do the Scottish thing, where they fling their arms up above their heads.
Fuck. Yes.
Oh, no, it's so funny.
I've gone to literally a Irish dancing website. One of the most asked questions people ask when first watching Irish dancing is, why are their arms so stiff? I'll stop the accent. The straightforward answer is that they don't. Well, at least for most Irish dancers, it's mainly in the step dancing that dancers use this unusual feature of Irish dancing with a stiff arm tied at their sides. In other styles of Irish dancing, like set dancing, Sean Noss and Seeley, they are able to move like any other dancer. With the explosion of Michael Flatley and his Riverdance shows, we see traditions getting relaxed and no more using our...
Paul, Michael Flatley took Irish dancing to a level that was at the time unprecedented. And we took you children to see it at
there
an arena.
Yeah.
We must have paid so little that the seats were so far away.
It was at the Sydney Entertainment Centre, and the seats weren't that bad because I can actually recall seeing what was going on. Oh, so they couldn't have been that bad.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. But it's an emotional...
What is it? You haven't said what it is.
What is?
I've asked you to explain what Riverdance is, and you've just gone in circles in the periphery. What is it?
It's a...
Fucking hell.
It was Stephen... a show that Mr. Flatley organised, and he took it all over the world. And he was unusual person.
He didn't organise it. He was just in it. What is it?
It's a dance of thing. It's a show.
What is it?
What?
You need to tell them what is it?
Where people, Irish dancers get on stage and dance
Okay.
in front of lots of people.
Is that, okay.
I believe the crowds were always sell out.
Yeah.
Michael Flatley.
Stop saying. Do you have a crush on the guy?
He's a very unusual person. He actually made a movie which was a total flop.
Oh, Blackbird, I think it's called. Yeah. Yes. He self-funded a spy film. Yes.
But one of the interesting things about Michael Flatley,
mm-hmm.
prior to him going on every single show, he used to submerge his cranium,
mm-hmm.
his entire head, in a bucket of ice.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
To calm down.
I'm not sure why.
His feet at one point were insured for, here we go, $57.6 million, and that's USD. He held the Guinness World Record for tap dancing 35 times per second. Dad's kind of answered the question. So Riverdance is a show. It's like a theatrical show that is mostly Irish dancing, but there's also music and whatnot. But it started, and I didn't know this actually, as a kind of halftime show during Eurovision in 1994. Mm-hmm. So Gene Butler and Michael Flatley were two very famous Irish dancers, and this vocal ensemble called Anunia, I think, they get up and do this kind of halftime show. And then after that, after the success and the reaction to that, this married couple who are also production team get together with Bill Whelan, who does music, and 1995 is when the show debuts as a full-length show. So it's sort of got a loose kind of narrative. It's about, I think, 90 minutes to 2 hours long. Irish dancing, music, kind of a story about the history of Ireland, and it's got all kinds of stuff. But it went gangbusters. Dad, yeah. At one point, I think Australia was gripped by Irish dancing fever, for which there is no cure, and that's when Anne got into Irish dancing. She got into Irish dancing because of Riverdance.
Correct, and we used to go to competitions. We had to spend a small fortune on her dress.
Mm-hmm.
But in her high school that she went to at the end of year Christmas concert,
mm-hmm.
she did a solo dance, and it was, and they used the music from Riverdance, and it was breathtaking and beautiful, and Anne was extraordinarily talented, and she was actually in a competition when she was in sixth class. And that was the same day or weekend that all the students in New South Wales apply for scholarships.
Okay.
And she missed out on her opportunity to sit for these exams. She then prepared her own portfolio, organised a one-on-one interview with the principal of a private girls' school on the Northern Beaches. She then... Christine and I took her to this interview, and the principal opens the door, sees the three of us. We're about to walk in, and Anne, who's in sixth class with her beautiful portfolios, turned around to Christine and myself and said, no, Mum and Dad, I'm going in by myself. She came out about 20 minutes later with a six-year scholarship. Extraordinary.
Huh.
So that's just sort of a connection to the Irish dancing,
right?
I guess, but you know, it's tough for parents when their children compete in various things, and you know that your child loves it, they're good at it, but they'll never, ever get to the top. But you need all these other people. I guess it's like swimming. When you go to the Olympics and you've got eight people in each race, what are the maths? Gold, silver, bronze. So that means...
Five losers.
I mean, there was a very beautiful and poignant photo exhibition and a book published as well about all those people that came forth. Have mm-hmm. you ever seen it?
You've talked about this on the show before.
It's so poignant.
Yeah.
Because people don't tend to sort of look, but you need everyone to make it a race. It'd be just weird in the Olympics, for example, if you only had three people in every race. Everyone would get a medal, but sort of, you know. Yeah.
In broader terms, I wanted to kind of just check in with you because I know that every family has odd little traditions and things that they like. And then when you interact with other people, it's really jarring to find out not just that they weren't raised on what you were raised on, you know, there's odd little cultural artifacts, but to find out the weird shit that their family was into. So I wanted to kind of ask you, because children's tastes are, at a certain age, informed by whatever their parents are playing on, you know, on music they're playing in the house, without movies they've got on. Yeah. So I'm curious as to what, because you and Mum were the ones who brought Riverdance into the house. We didn't do it. It just, you know, I'm curious as to how you both fell into it.
We used to go to a place in Manly called the Discovery Zone.
Yeah.
We used to take you kids there every Sunday morning. Oh, and it was just out there, wasn't it?
It had the sort of, you know, the plasma balls and inflatable couches and that thing with the needles where you put your hand into it and leaves an impression. Kind of that shit, right?
And it had a lot of sort of world music.
Yeah.
And part of world music is certainly that style of Riverdance, because it was very emotional. And I guess it affected us, and we'd play it, and you children through osmosis would absorb. I mean, you three kids have got fairly, you've got very diverse tastes, but I'd like to think that you've got great taste in music. And really, there's only one type of music, I guess, that we never ever played at home. And this is going to ruffle a few feathers out there in Loose Units land.
What is it?
Country and Western.
Yeah, I've now, for the record, really come to love country, but I think when you refer to country, you're referring to sort of modern Garth Brooks style shit. Look, country music is like any other genre. It's extremely varied and there's good and bad stuff. But yes, there are certain genres that you just didn't get us into. For example, my rebellious teenage phase, I don't know why I said teenage like that, or like that, was the Beatles, because you didn't play any of the Beatles, so for me it was a band that I discovered that felt, you know. But the stuff you got us into was, you know, jazz, classical, world music, stuff like that. So when Riverdance came along, it wasn't like it was a sudden jarring departure from what we listened to as a family. It was, you know, it fit into the rhythms of what we listened to already, whereas I think if I was raised on, you know, classic rock or pop music or whatever, suddenly leaping across, like if you were a guy that just played Led Zeppelin and then suddenly you brought home Riverdance and put it on, I think I'd get whiplash.
Agree.
But our house's musical ecosystem was very much, it was already in that kind of Riverdance-y place. And then you got the VHS, right? And we watched it, and God, I loved it.
Yeah, but Paul, I have a feeling, I just have a feeling I know what you're about to say, and it's to do with your partner, and where you have a very fond and beautiful memory of something that is strong, powerful, emotional, evokes all sorts of wonderful thoughts and feelings, and then you often feel, as we all do, that if you were to take your partner or a good friend to something, you feel as though that they would experience the same incredible feelings that you did, and when you find out they don't, it's sort of a weird thing.
Well, that's that's why I raised the thing of people's families' different stuff. I mean, did you have friends who were into Riverdance? Like, was this Not shit really. Doesn't happen in a vacuum? Or did
no,
you
no,
literally,
no, no. Well, Hank and Hank and Pam, they sort of were into
our family friends,
because Hank was an actual champion Irish dancer.
What?
Yep.
Was he?
Yes.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
So what did he think of the kind of, I think it's fair to say, the difference between traditional Irish dancing and the sort of more rock star-ish stuff of Riverdance?
That's a good question, and I think if you were to talk to
an Irish dancer.
Well, I was going to say hardcore people that are into classical music in its truest form. I think if you were to talk to them about how do they feel about that Andre Rua, who with his violin, and it's sort of a... It has more sort of appeal to a larger mass, but purists in anything, in art, in sculpture, in architecture, in cars, I guess in poetry, in collecting, in probably even Lego, purists get a bit funny when the sort of creator of the movement wants to get more people in, so they kind of soften it. They make it sort of more available, more acceptable to the masses. It becomes a little bit sort of vague and generic. Is that making sense?
I guess so, yeah.
You know, if you're a real... Paul, you are a classic example with some of the things that you collect, for example. You're into Japanese vinyl, which is very, very specific. But then within the genre of Japanese vinyl, you have even more distilled versions. And you go down this rabbit hole and you end up with something so... I mean, I hate to say this to you and the listeners, but I'm going to. It's a little bit like minimalism. It's actually really difficult to become a true minimalist. And then when you meet other people that think they're minimalists, in your heart you know they're not, but they think they are. Is this making sense?
Kind of.
You know, when you make something for the masses, I think it tends to lose its purity. But is that a bad thing?
Look, some would say Irish dancing needed a bit of a refresh.
Others
would say, look, I think for most people it was their first encounter with Irish dancing. And I got to tell you, I went and saw Riverdance, the 25th anniversary show, at the Margaret Court Arena. And the people who run Riverdance provided me tickets. And can I just say thank you? Because I was squealing like a little kid the whole time. I mean, also, it was just, there was not a dry eye in the house. It was pretty amazing. And it was interesting seeing the demographic of people. And Dad, they were kind of somewhere between my age and your age. That was the sort of, that was the spread. It was about, you know, 40 to 70, I would say. I'm not saying you're 70, but that was the kind of age. And then in the middle of the ground, on the kind of ground area right up front, were hundreds of people who were way younger, and they were Irish dancers, and they got this really nice shout out. But honestly, it was an absolute spectacle. I loved it. It was truly incredible. They've been doing a kind of two or three shows each capital city tour around Australia, but it's basically the exact same show. But when we saw it at the Sydney Entertainment Centre, it was a lot bigger. The stage was bigger. The production values were about the same, honestly. But it was interesting. It was interesting kind of contending with this part of me that had forgotten how much I loved it and how much it meant to me and how fucking earnest it is. I mean, Riverdance is very earnest.
Yes.
But they re-released the soundtrack for the 25th anniversary. So Bill Whelan, who did the music for the first one, has come back and redone it. And if you were into Riverdance back in the day, highly recommended. If you have no idea what Riverdance is, it's probably going to be a coin flip as to whether you dig it or not. But if you've got kids and you're like, I think I should show them this to get them into Irish dancing, it might work. It might actually work. But next time I'm in Dublin, I'm absolutely going to go see it. At its spiritual and actual home, I think it was a real treat. Honestly, I had such a great time. So you said that Anne was an Irish dancer and she was into it because of Riverdance.
That's right, yeah.
She didn't know we were going, so we chucked her on, we called her on WhatsApp. We did like a video call from the foyer of the venue and said, guess where we are? And then turned the camera to face the big banners and she screamed. She flipped out. It was pretty great. So, yeah, Riverdance, 10 enthusiastic thumbs up.
Fantastic. But, I mean, Tegan comes from a different... She has a different family background, doesn't she?
Yeah. And so,
there are things that her parents, brought their family up with that just you kids didn't do. I mean, we didn't go to sporting events, did we?
No. No live
Ever.
Sport. Oh, the Olympics occasionally yeah. cropped well, up. So when the well, 2000 Olympics happened,
We almost made it to the Olympics. Remember that great story?
You sold the
tickets when we were all in line.
Yep.
Remember then that? I gave everyone a little cash bonus.
Now, if that was, let's say, if you'd sold the tickets to, you know, the 200-meter men's freestyle with Thorpe, I think I would have murdered you. But this was weightlifting, some lower division of weightlifting.
It was Greco wrestling, and it just turns out that the two countries that hate each other the most ended up in the finals, which wasn't a very unexpected event.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. But again, look, I guess what you're saying is that we didn't do sports growing up at all. And honestly, it's a high bar to clear, right? Mm. Getting into that completely foreign thing, but. Yep.
You've done it well.
Well, as somebody who prides himself on trying to get into new things and trying new things, I mean, sport took the longest, but I am dad. I'm into the AFL to a degree which I didn't think it was capable of. I mean, I know the names of every coach of every team. I know the names of every single one of our players. I literally print out fucking flashcards so we could memorize their names and their numbers. Like, I'm really into it. But it's not like my brain is a pie and I've now removed a huge chunk of it that other things can't get a slice of it, right? Like, it's just another thing I like. It hasn't detracted from any of the other stuff I'm into. It hasn't suddenly turned me into a jock.
No, I understand,
funny, but yeah.
Look, Mark, he was a professional Muay Thai fighter in Bangkok.
Yeah.
He fought at the Lumpini Stadium. He fought Russian gangsters, Green Berets, American Special Force soldiers. He fought the lot. He fought just a complete cross-section of the world's fighters.
Yeah.
And...
But you didn't raise... Like, that wasn't something that we were into as a family. So that's
not,
something
not
that
at all.
Completely... He got into completely...
He got into
own.
It. And yeah. Christine and I had an opportunity to, on one of our trips, visit and go and watch Mark fight. And we didn't do it. We just didn't want to see our son having the shit kicked out of him, because it's pretty full on. But that's something that he... got involved in, you kids, whatever you've done in your lives, you know, we've tried to, you know, support you. But being a parent is also, you know, when the kids are little, you, I guess, expose them to lots of, endeavors and pursuits.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, you just say, look, basically... do what you want to do, and if you really want to keep doing something, that's great.
Yeah. You've held me back long enough. I'm doing Irish dancing, you can't stop me.
Yeah, I mean, parents are sort of, Christine and I, we definitely were not the norm. I mean, it was very, very unusual, and there are not a lot of parents out there that had no curfews for their children. That was a very, very big thing to do, but the reason we did it is that we, coming from a police background, and we were in the police force when we had you kids.
Yeah.
And we realised that being tough with kids, or overly tough, or having ridiculous sort of curfews, it doesn't work. Because at a certain point, the kids are going to go, you know what? F you. we're going to do what we want. Whether you know about it or you don't, that's why Christine and I, when we lived in Manly, we all of you kids had all your friends around, and I know for a fact that your friends, all your friends, thought that coming to our place on a Friday, Saturday night was super cool because Christine and I were very inclusive.
Well, you're also younger than most parents.
And younger than most parents too.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, parenting is basically an experiment. And, you know, it's a big thing. And I think if you really want to get to the nub of how Christine and I feel, I mean, do things as a family, expose your kids to lots of things, and then at a certain point, let them make up their own minds.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about something that we will talk about next week, which is an extraordinary story because very, very close to where we live here in Sydney is a red door on a building.
Yeah.
I have long admired the red door. I like coloured doors on houses. Always have. This is a beautiful red door on a corner. So you walk across a pedestrian crossing, the first thing you see, in fact, if you kept walking, you'd walk into this red door, which is the front door of an apartment. I have been admiring this red door and the building since we moved into the area, which is about 5 years.
Okay.
Just a few days ago.
Yeah.
A lovely lady who owns a pet shop called, get ready for this, Pets Point.
Okay.
Do you know why it's called Pets Point?
Because it's in Potts Point and correct. They sell pet stuff. Okay.
Love it, love it.
Yep.
And she said, oh, because she's an avid fan of loose units.
Yeah.
She said, you must know the story about the apartment with the red door.
So hang on, you're not going to tell it now.
We're I'm not certainly time, right? not telling it now.
Great.
But she said, she literally couldn't believe I didn't know the story about what's behind the red door. And that's all I'm saying.
Okay, great. So we've got a teaser for next episode. We're going to continue our look at the BCK killer start of next week. And Dad, we're going to pre-record some stuff so that whilst I'm over in the USA for a couple of weeks, we're going to have episodes continuing to roll out every week because we don't leave anybody unaccompanied at any point. The show must go on. But thank you so much for hanging out for this, I guess, Riverdance-themed episode of Loose Units, Loose Ends. If any of you were into Riverdance, and I mean, if any of you did Irish dancing as a result, saw it live, felt you were subjected to it by parents with terrible taste, whatever end of the Riverdance spectrum you're on, please get in touch, because I'm so keen to hear. Because I found out they've won like countless Grammys, and it's just, I mean, it was such a global thing, but also at the same time, it's so specific. As with all good things, it's very, very specific. And I would argue, Dad, this show shares that quality as well. So thank you for listening to the Riverdance of True Crime Podcasts. I'm Paul, that's John. We'll see you later. Bye, folks.
Cheerio, and may I leave you with a thought?
Oh, okay.
You're going to the Big Apple.
Yeah.
Imagine if Michael Flatley...
Yeah.
Had have had apples in the bucket. He would have gone apple bobbing. Maybe you can try that when you're in New York.
I've always said you're an ideas person.
Love
not
you, work.
Not all good ideas, but you know.
Love you, mate.
Love you, bye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.